7 years ago in 2015, the cost of the Children's Hospital was estimated at €650 million, and the delivery date was penciled in for 2020. 2 years later, in 2019, a budget of almost €1 billion was approved. And 2 years on again, in 2021, it had jumped by another €400 million to €1.4 billion, and now the final price isn't even being discussed. Here's the subject being thrashed out at Leaders' Questions, with Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald asking for the final cost.
And there's been rightly, Taoiseach, a lot of focus on your inability to build houses, but clearly you're not good at building hospitals either. And the question that people ask themselves is this: who sets out to build anything, no less a national hospital, with no idea of how much it will cost and no idea when it will be finished?
Well, despite the criticism there, the Taoiseach still wasn't for putting a figure on it, because he said it would only give developers a minimum target to aim for.
And it would be very foolhardy for me or for government, or indeed for the Deputy opposite, very foolhardy and wrong to try and put a figure out there. That would not be the correct approach. And in my view, the last thing politicians should do in terms of projects, and I religiously avoid this, is to announce global figures that X project is going to cost X, Y, Z.
All right. Well, there was the talk of the main chamber and the committee rooms today. Ciara, let's start with the committee first. A lack of timely information was the issue of controversy there before we get into the cost and the delays.
Yeah. So obviously, what's normal is, as the politicians of the panel will know, that opening statements are given by the minister to the committee members, and they did not land until 8:30 this morning, and the committee, the health committee, of which Stephen Donnelly and Mary Butler were in front of, sat at 10 a.m, so it gave them an hour and a half to digest, interrogate the figures, and essentially the TDs were saying that it wasn't good enough. So before proceedings even began, Stephen Donnelly took a right slapping in the committee from the politicians who said it wasn't good enough, that the figures weren't provided to them, and essentially they were brought in to talk about overspend that I know we'll get to in the Department of Health, but it ended up in the committee being the funding wasn't agreed on, and the Children's Hospital issue came up in that. So he'll probably face further questioning, likely to be next week on that.
Right. But he was willing to go a bit further than the Taoiseach in terms of estimating that it probably wouldn't stick to €1.43 billion anyway.
Yeah, and when you take in the integration costs as well, it's likely to rise to €1.7 billion. However, the Public Accounts Committee has previously said that they see that the cost could rise to €2 billion. And then Stephen Donnelly today saying, as you said, further than the Taoiseach, yeah, it's going to rise substantially higher than €1.4 billion.
Right. Mary Siri Kearney, any idea? Does it matter? Or is it just a case of try and push this through while the political heat is going and hope that for the end result when it's built will make everybody wow in admiration and forget about the controversy over the cost?
Well, I think it would be reasonable to say this is an enormous project. So that's a fact. And what is being built here is, and we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that it's a world-class facility that is going to be transformational. Well, it's going to be, we're building a children's hospital that'll do the generations to come, many generations to come. So I think that we always need to bear that in mind. There is something in excess of €600 million in dispute resolution. Now, there have been claims there, and so that figure isn't agreed. I think the figure I have is €637 million. That figure isn't agreed. So we can't give a definitive what is this going to arrive at. It's not, of course, it's not going to be zero, but it is quite normal within a contract of a size like that for claims to be put in. The contractor is entitled to do that, just as the board are entitled to resist it and to put them to a dispute resolution mechanism that is contained within the contract. And that is right. It is unhelpful, and the Taoiseach, I believe, is right. I have nothing of this scale, but I have been involved in building projects on a very large scale, and you do end up having to send things into a dispute resolution mechanism as you go forward and backwards as to how the claim has arisen, how it's come about. Of something of this size, there were always going to be claims. There was always going to be an evolving system as you went through. Right. But I was in the Children's Hospital only a couple of weeks ago with the Taoiseach. I met with Eilish Hardiman there, and it will be extraordinary what is there and done already, and the entire health committee visited it over the summer.
All right, so Eoin O'Riordan, the €1.4 billion that's approved is just a tactical ceiling that can be shifted in the future. It's kind of a a budget in hope, is it, do you think? What's your best estimate?
I know it's my role here to criticise the government, but I find it very difficult to get motivated or excited about this debate, considering what's at stake. Because my own party leader visited the site and was very excited by what she saw. Duncan Smith visited, Rebecca Moynihan visited. In the budget just passed or a number of months ago, we gave away $1.13 billion in tax cuts, disproportionately to those who didn't really need it. Last budget last year, we gave away $500 million in tax cuts. So that's about $1.6 billion that we don't really debate. This is $2 billion going towards a project. We don't even know if it's going to be $2 billion. This is the figure that people are getting worried about. Going towards a project that, as Mary quite rightly says, is going to benefit the most vulnerable and sick children that we have in this country. So I have a four-year-old. I know lots of people have children. I don't know what price you would put on a facility that would benefit generations of children into the future. So I actually refuse to get excited about the cost overruns as projected. I know we have to have oversight and we have to have clarity. But to be honest, we don't have a great history with vulnerable children in this country. If we're going to build it, let's build it. And then, you know, I think it will stand the test.
Okay, but there are vulnerable children who could benefit from other services as well, and, you know, spending, overspending on
certain
things.
Absolutely, but you see my point here about the tax cuts that we don't discuss and the $2 billion on the potential on the project that we are. I think this is getting possibly a disproportionate amount of airtime compared to what we just don't even think about the day after a budget.
All right, Matt Shannon, do you see the final cost of this coming at potentially the expense of other capital projects down the line?
Of course I do, Colin. We have to remember it would probably finish out at €2 billion. And by the way, a lot of the specification, the later IT specification and that the cabling, a lot of that specification was reduced to try and cut costs in this hospital. There's so many things about this hospital at the design stage that were wrong, not least the location. But we're past all of that now. But just bear in mind, the UK built a children's hospital of similar size to the National Children's Hospital in Liverpool at the same time, and they built it for about £500 million sterling. We're here now facing €2 billion. And by the way, this is only going to be the beginning of the dysfunctionality which is going to arise when this hospital opens, because we've been told by a number of times by the previous master there that they're going to have significant difficulties in terms of retaining, recruiting nurses, trying to provide staff. We're now going to be faced, I would say, with a bill very soon for domiciliary capital allowance for people to remain on site tonight, because that's a problem.
Okay, but just to stick at the current cost of this for the moment, is it too big to fail at this stage? It's keep going. We don't have a choice. Is that
we don't have a choice. But the question is, A, what lessons are going to be learned, and B, you know, what's going to change in the future about the next? We've two more elective hospitals announced over the weekend, one for Limerick, one for Cork. How much will they be? €1.5 billion each. Will we just throw a figure at the wall and hope we can meet it? To be fair, Jimmy Sheehan, when the National Children's Hospital was being proposed, Jimmy Sheehan, who built two hospitals, private hospitals in this country, came and offered to the state his services and his management team free gratis to provide a National Children's Hospital, and we laughed and we rubbished it. And now we could wish, if we had that money back now, what we could do with this money in terms of capital developments to other hospitals in the country.
All right, Mary, sorry, Kira, I'll come to you. Mary's here. Carney, the cost controls, at what point, is there a lesson to be learned as to build in cost controls at some point? Is this just a function of the circumstances of the times this has been built in with, you know, construction inflation and that, or has there been something wrong contractually at the beginning that allowed the costs rise this much?
I think that the world has changed considerably since 2015 and this entire project began. So I think that we've got to consider the delays, we've got to consider the cost inflation, we've got to consider those as very genuine inflationary implications on the cost of this project. Are there oversight? There's always learnings from every project. But that said, the sheer size and scale of this, you know, even the detail of the planning and the experience of children who are in long-term care in hospital, their families coming to them, having that own room, having a capacity for their parent to stay in the room with them. The across the road, the Ronald McDonald House for supporting families, that's also part of this project. That is being built at the moment. The detail that goes into the bathrooms, the care there. You know, any parent that has a child in a hospital, it becomes the focus of their entire family, their siblings, That is that family's entire focus for the duration of that child's illness, which can be a very long time.
Sure.
So having it at the best, at state-of-the-art facilities within that, so even down to there are 400 trees already planted on the site, so that the environment, in the environment for both the staff and the and the children in it is going to be at a world-class level.
The question that needs to be asked today, if you brought in a private concern to replicate that hospital in another part of Dublin today, would they deliver it finished, out the door, everything done for under €1 billion? And
but
the answer is yes, they would. Well, sorry,
that's
no, the answer is they would. You could give
hypothetical.
A contract to BAM in the morning and they would deliver it if it was properly specified. That's the key point.
Ciara Field.
Yeah, just a question that you posed to Mary Seary is, you know, it's quite clear that obviously lessons do have to be learned from this. The Taoiseach even indicated that when he visited the site last week. He said that lessons have to be learned about the procurement and contracts regarding the National Children's Hospital. And I think that all that being said regarding, you know, inflationary costs, etc., etc. But how do you cost this hospital and say it's going to be world class and cost it as 987 million? But now we're sitting here thinking that it could cost €2 billion. There's something seriously wrong there.
Right. It's overdue and it's over budget insofar as there is a budget at this stage and there hasn't been a ceiling put at that. Could it be also understaffed, Matt Shannon? That was one of the concerns you were
Well, flagging. Of course it could, because we have this problem right across the health service at the present time. And we're talking about a specialist hospital doing specialist services that's going to require a lot of specialist nurses, for instance. And particularly in paediatrics, these are impossible to find in the country at the present time. And the big difficulty, as we know, is the housing crisis, is the accommodation, is the take-home pay of people in that sector. So that's going to be a huge problem ongoing for this hospital. And with respect to Mary, I accept everything that she says about the need to provide a world-class service and the importance of this for families. But the problem here is, we, you know, this is going to be a white elephant for quite some time, mark my words.
Mary.
The fact is that two hospitals will come into this hospital. There is staff already being worked with and supported in getting ready for the transition to move. And Eilish Hardiman was very transparent about that. About
sure,
all
but experienced
the
staff, like you're looking at consultants for whom there is a sort of a wide world looking for their skills, clinical nurse managers, who many of whom would be reaching a certain point in their career and maybe thinking about moving on.
And the proposition in front of them now is to move from the antiquated premises that they're currently in into a world-class facility where they have everything that they need.
And what about the stories we hear from Phil Nihay, the head of the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation, talking about people being accommodated three to a room and the like? How are nursing staff supposed to be attracted into this? I mean, if the €2 billion is going to be spent, as you say, and the facilities to be fully staffed up and deliver a world-class service, this retention issue and recruitment issue is going to be key, isn't it?
And certainly housing, full stop, is a challenge that is getting a whole of government response to try and deliver on housing and to deliver on the housing for all, because we desperately need to do that. Will we need to look at providing accommodation, having something along those lines in the future? Yes, we do. I think all ideas need to be
nurses accommodation. Is that what you're talking about?
Or well, something that also will accommodate families. You know, so do we need to start having those conversations? Of course we do. Of course we do. Anything to support and to ensure that we attract us. You know, my home constituency is Dublin South Central, where this hospital is right in the middle of it. As you go along the South Circular Road, there are billboards up advertising for nursing and medical staff to go to New Zealand. Nurses are telling me they're getting emails on a daily basis offering them 5,000 cash to be able to relocate. So yes, we do need to be competitive. We need to be doing everything we can to do.
Aon, I see you give your face a weary rub there. Was that in response to or unrelated to what you've just heard?
I gave it a weary rub because I'm on the radio and I didn't think anybody would notice. But
it's the danger of a webcam, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think Dublin is in serious bother. I think Dublin is in serious bother when it comes to all public services. And if you look at the fact that we can't now get teachers, there's 6 teacher unions who all collectively issued a statement saying that the teaching profession's in crisis. There's one school in North Dublin that I know of that has 9 permanent posts they can't fill. This is a dynamic across primary and secondary schools in Dublin that we cannot get teachers to teach children and young people. We have, obviously, in the nursing profession, as Phil Nihay said, we had the situation where 2 nurses who were asked to share the 1 bed in accommodation in order to fulfil the the job opportunity that was afforded to them. We're having a similar situation with guards.
Right.
Dublin is.
So what's the answer? Purpose built, like we say, a city like London,
well, where the answer,
they build affordable housing for teachers, nurses, policemen and the like.
The answer is partly for government to accept that there is an issue. Now, I know government representatives always say, well, look, we're doing everything we can and we've introduced this and introduced that. When we in opposition actually propose suggestions such as an eviction ban, we were given any amount of excuses from the Taoiseach down for months as to why it was unconstitutional, and then it was brought in. We're told that the rent freeze would also be unconstitutional, yet it was actually brought in 2015. These practical solutions, you know, we're talking about tenant and situ schemes for those who are renting.
That's a broad issue for everyone. For targeted measures for the likes of nurses and teachers and key services, are you talking about something that is directly targeted at them, or is it solve the wider picture and everybody else will be looked after?
We currently are in a crisis in Dublin where we cannot staff our schools, we cannot staff our hospitals. We have an issue around a lot of, you know, key public servants who are being priced out of delivering key public services. I think there is nothing that government shouldn't consider. And in other European capitals and in London, we have, you know, you do have a London allowance.
Yeah.
Now, I know that has been ruled out by the Minister for Education, but I don't think these sort of initiatives that other countries have turned to should be ruled out, because the situation now is that we're going to have unqualified teachers in schools. We'll have, you know, medical facilities that can't cope. You have a city that is effectively dying on its knees because people are being priced out of it. It is having a really corrosive effect on life in Dublin.
Okay.